Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You're listening to the internet's only Joel is gone, so two bald guys will fill in for him podcast. My name is John Fraser, of course. Joel, he's off for the next couple weeks. He's on holiday with his fam jam back out east. I am joined by the handsome, talented, and your favorite fill-in co-host, a Greencast member, Greencast semi-member from the Piffle Swab podcast, one Mr. Greg McCullough. Greg, how the hell are you tonight?
Hedge slightly shinier than yours, but not too bad.
this is why we don't do video. We are strictly audio because right now people will be blinded as we are both very bald, very shiny, very summer cut right now, Greg. So
there is a reason why I wear a hat on our podcast.
I feel like I could take a photo and like auction it off to like your tens of thousands of viewers and just be like, hey, anyone want to see what's under the hat? Yeah.
It's funny. I call it a Clark Kent Superman thing because hardly anyone recognizes me either with like my day job. No one knows what I do. Like no one knows about the podcast. And then if I'm wearing a hat, they don't recognize me.
That's
when it's
funny.
When it's the opposite way, when I'm in public, if I'm wearing a hat.
Right. And see, it's funny. Nobody recognizes me from anything ever because only seven people listen to this podcast. And I'm never on camera for the NLL on TSN. So that's part of it. But speaking of on camera, let's get to the opener, which in most podcasts is where you get to the most serious topic of the day. For me, it is instead, did you know, Greg McCullough, you can now rent a mascot for your wedding?
I did see the Sickos doing this, so I'm assuming that's where you got this.
Well, of course, it's where I got it. My friends of the Sickos committee, several colleges now, you can actually go out, rent a mascot, have it appear at your wedding. Now, I must ask you, Greg McCullough, any mascot in the world, like we're even talking corporate mascots here, which one are you picking? You're getting remarried. You can pick any mascot in the world. Which one are you going with?
As much as I'm a Penguins fan, I think Gritty is the answer.
Oh, 100%. Right? Get him a little tux. Good to go. Those big shoes. Gritty's a ton of fun. Now, like, you wouldn't be scared by the googly eyes?
Hey, they're no worse than Grainer's Coke eyes that he had a few years ago. So,
how many games were the Gainer Coke eyes? That's the other thing that inspired this.
One. I think it's one. I'm pretty sure after the first game, they either use electrician's tape or like blacked out the green eyes. It was the same head, but they realized adding green to the eyes on a wide-eyed mascot was just not a good idea.
See, and it's funny because I was going to go with coked out Gainer, but then would be scared that he would be, you know, in the washroom doing things rather than being at the wedding. Myself, I've had no time to think about this. You'd think that I would have thought about this considering I am
considering
the one
you had the question. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Idea. And I just realized I'm like, wait, I never actually thought of this, but I do think it would be the Giuseppe Pizzeria mascot.
That's fair.
Right. I mean,
hot midnight lunch.
That's exactly it. You get the big guy in the Italian costume slinging za at the midnight lunch. Can't go wrong with a wedding. Right. So now what I want to know, is it the same person in the costume that like does all the games? Do they get the money? Does the team get the money? Like, I have so many layers of questioning for this, and I'm fascinated by the prospect of a mascot at a wedding.
You'd think there would be obviously the person would get paid for their time.
Yes.
In the costume. So, but yeah, at some point there would have to be like, you know, like the old school wrestling bookers, there's a booking fee. There's off the top. Like, yeah, like you'd, there has to be a VIG, if you will. There's some coming off the top going to the promoter.
Of course, as there needs to be. Now, Greg, have you ever spent any time in a mascot costume?
I have. I was Reggie the Cougar for a couple of games back in my university days. And for some reason, my three-point shot was better in the costume than it was not in the costume.
So you worked Cougar basketball games, so you were indoors.
I was indoors, and I'll never forget this, and I'm surprised the old wrestling coach Leo McGee didn't kill me for this. So it was a halftime in a game, just over, went into the equipment room, take my head off, because can't do that in front of the kids. It's like
no, 100%.
And he came in, he looked mad, and I couldn't figure out why. And I'm like just sweating buckets. And I go to Leo, I'm like, if your guys ever have problems cutting weight, they should be doing this. Turns out the reason why he was so mad, he just came in from a weigh-in. A bunch of his guys didn't make weight.
So they needed to spend time in the mascot costume.
Apparently, yeah.
I inadvertently retired Holly Cow, the CJWW mascot, once. So, as people know, as or they may not, I am a large, a medium, you know, I'm an over typical overweight middle-aged man, also very hairy. So they once paid me when I worked at CJWW. We were in the Canada Day parade. Okay, so think July, think mascot costume, think blazing sun, fat sweaty man inside it. Okay. They offered me $100 to go in it, and like this thing didn't, there was no ice packs, no cooling, no fans, no nothing. I sweated through the mascot costume and ruined it. They couldn't like clean it. Like I actually ruined a mascot costume by my own sweat.
Not gonna lie, me hearing you say you ruined a mascot costume, that's not where I would have went with it.
With my reputation for the CN Curling Club, I think we were thinking a different thing. So, you know, who else was thinking a different thing? Probably Riders kicker Brett Lowther. Maybe he should try thinking some different things before he kicks. Get to that more. Riders 2-0 to start this season for the second year in a row. But first, most importantly, for the Vile of Bones Brewing Company and Lucky Bastard Distillers, my friend Greg, you did get the memo. See, this is why I keep inviting you back when Joel's gone. Because you get the memo. You have something in the glass. What is it tonight, Greg McCullough?
Well, before I do that, I got to give a shout out to my good sponsor at Churchill Brewing Company. I am not drinking one of their good lawnmower beers, but I do have, because about 43 years ago, Perfection was born in Moosomin, Saskatchewan, but now they got their own brewery. Scout Brewing, I am actually drinking their On Deck Session Ale, which is actually technically only available at Moosomin Badgers games. However, being kind of a big deal, I may have got a 4-pack. And by me, being a big deal, I mean my parents went there, asked if they could have some, and they sent a 4-pack with them.
That's really cool. Is it going to be at the Moosomin Steelhawks games? Because, you know, Moosomin known for its steel industry.
Don't get me started on that. This is a football podcast, not me raging about bad beer, junior we're branding.
We're not you. We are not really a football podcast. So feel free, go hard.
I'm just saying, when you justify a logo by saying my sister-in-law did it and I think she did a very good job, and it takes me a 5-second Google search to go, that logo is stolen from the Hamilton Steelhawks themselves. All you did was add a glitter filter to the head. Go away.
It's got the vibes, and I'm not as big of a logo snob as you, but I do appreciate very good graphic design, as anybody that's heard me versus the Moose Jaw Miller Express in the past few years, right? I feel like that somebody said we got to come up with a logo, and whoever was responsible for it left it to the last minute and just went ahead and boom, hey, it's sparkly, it's shiny, because Moosomin's known for its steel industry.
Well, apparently the reason why is because, and I kid you not, this was the guy's justification for it. They were traveling through Moosomin going, hey, this would be a great place to put a hockey team. We're in the hotel where they found a pamphlet about the history of Moosomin. Mm-hmm. Turned out the railroad went through Moosomin. Mm. That is basically the entire reason the town in the prairies exists in Saskatchewan.
That's fair.
And they go, hey, no, railroad, that's a good idea. I was like, you know nothing about the community.
No, you know what they could have called it? They could have called the Moosomin Express and actually had a train.
That would be better than the upside down WX logo.
I you know, it's funny, when I was on the Sickos podcast, and I forgot to point out that the M in Moose Jaw Miller Express is actually an upside down W. Yes. So I wanted to leave that to you. You did. So I appreciate that. But in the glass for me tonight, as I'm steering the ship, so most people would take it easy. I am not. I'm doing my traditional double fist. One with Pile of Bones, double white IPA. Have one of these. You're not leaving your house. But I would dare say, and I don't know if you've sampled both, Greg, the double white tastes better than the single white. And that's saying something.
that is saying something. I love the single white. Have I had the double white? I may have. I do enjoy all of their IPAs. So.
Oh, yeah. Give the double white a try. Just the extra, it's almost funny. It's almost like the extra sharpness from being an 8% double. Mm-hmm. It takes away some of the sweetness. It balances really well. It's really good. And of course, because I'm a degenerate and hosting this program here tonight, and we want spicy hot takes, not just on shitty Junior B logos, I've got a glass of gin from our friends at Lucky Bastard Distillers. Our boy Bryce, who just turned 30 last week. Slightly older than 30, as I do my own transitions, not just us. Riders kicker Brett Lowther. Of course, the Riders are 2-0 after beating up the Hamilton Tiger Cats, who suddenly look like they may be taking the trophy or the title belt away from Calgary as worst team in the league early on. We all thought it was going to be Calgary. Greg, are you surprised that it might not be Calgary and it might be Hamilton after all the free agent moves they made?
We kind of talked about this last night on our show. I think Calgary might be a mirage. If you look at who they played, who we've played.
Right.
Like it is, and we're 2-0 and they're 2-0. I don't think it says much about them. And like I said last night, this kind of works backwards on us too. But I don't think it's about who they are. It's about who they played.
Interesting.
Because as much as I expected the East to be better this year, they're not that good. Hamilton, on the other hand, I think they're better than what their record says they are. And I know we're only two games in, but that Kenny Lawler, Bo Levi Mitchell, once they get it together, is going to be good. And plus, you got White, and I don't understand their but I don't understand their play calling. Like, they completely abandoned the running game. Like, they became so one dimensional against the Riders, it was ridiculous.
Well, that's kind of been a thing for them, though. Right? Like, Hamilton is kind of just the past few years, whenever they get down, it's like, okay, we're going to abandon the run game, and we're just going to get Bo Levi to chuck it on his arm held together by duct tape and hope these days 40 times a game, right? And it doesn't seem to, obviously, is not working for them, right, as they take on the Riders. But I am surprised that Hamilton is 0-2, Calgary is 2-0, but again, it just proves the power of the Fraser curse, realistically. That's all it's doing. Before we talk Brett Lowther, because I think that's the biggest storyline coming out of this game, other than the team being 2-0, maybe not putting the games away, is the continuation of the Fraser curse. I questioned, preseason especially, and heading into this, the Riders' decision to keep AJ Ouellette, and to a lesser degree, Super Mario Alf, right? Those are two guys I'm like, you're paying them a lot of money. It turns out you're not paying Alfred that much. And both of them, to me, were the story in that game. It's almost like by me saying they're not going to be good, and Joel wrote it for Three Down Nation in The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, writing that the good was those two guys who've been much maligned on this here platform. Greg, because we don't listen to each other, so we don't share each other's opinions, and that is something that you and I discuss. I love your guys' pod. I know you love us, but it's just, I'm like, I can't listen to Greg because then I'm going to say something that Greg said and vice versa. Because we typically tend to think alike a lot. Where was your stance on that heading into the season? And maybe now that you're 2-0?
I figured AJ wasn't going anywhere. Keeping Mario surprised me, especially after McRae looked really good in preseason on the kicker turns. But as Mario wasn't making that much as we thought, I guess I should say, I guess it makes sense to keep him around, especially after McRae got hurt.
Yeah.
I think, though, if you notice this year, there wasn't that many surprise releases like there were in previous years. There wasn't a lot of big names cut. And I think a lot of that has to do with the all of a sudden expanded salary cap, because you don't have to make that decision between that higher paid vet anymore this year, because the team's budgets were basically already locked in to where they thought they were going to be. Then all of a sudden they got this free pile of money. So you've got some GMs using it. You got some that aren't. And so you didn't have teams making that so-called hard decision anymore. They could try to run it back with what.
A warning from Jace Medical. Even if the war stops, the shortages won't. Because ships move slowly, the U.S. has been running on oil that set sail months ago. But that buffer is running out. Asia is already feeling it. Europe is feeling it. Africa is feeling it. Demand is increasing as supply tightens, and it's what's been raising your power bill and gas prices. But those last ships to the US just arrived, and even if things stabilize, the ripple effects will last much, much longer, because oil doesn't just power your car. It powers the systems that make and deliver your medications, and when supply slows, shortages begin. The difference between panic and peace is preparation with Jace. The Jace case is a doctor-prescribed emergency supply of essential medications and prescription antibiotics delivered right to your door so you're ready before you need it. No waiting, no scrambling, just control. Get your Jace case today at jace.com.
They got, and I think that's why Mario is probably still around.
Certainly. And I would also agree with that on AJ, because I've been a guy that... you know, has been, I get it. He got banged up. He got hurt. And you typically see that a lot of times. But to me, spending that kind of money on an American running back has never made sense to me. No matter how good the American running back is. Right.
I agree. But I don't think, I think once they brought in Andrew Harris as the running backs coach, who's a good buddy of AJ's, I think it was anyone who thought that they were going to cut AJ unless he wasn't like a complete shell of what he used to be. I think they were fooling themselves. They brought in, they brought in Harris to coach AJ, not as a favorite to AJ, because I'm pretty sure Harris is going to be a decent coach in this league.
Yeah,
but I think that relationship there basically sealed the deal. It was, it just made sense.
Yeah,
it'd be very difficult for them to bring in Harris and then cut a guy that he knows for the unknown, unless you found yourself a stud.
Right. And I mean, Joel and I have said, and it was kind of surprising that we all thought it was Bertrand Hudon is that stud. We all thought that they had gone out and found a young Canadian, were advocating for him to play. Next thing you know, we all thought it was AJ that wasn't going to play this game. It's Bertrand Hudon that's out. And that brings in Kadeem DeCarey, who is looking forward to a revenge game in Toronto coming up on Friday. I know we typically don't on this pod talk about what's coming up in the week, but I do think it is worth noting that all of a sudden it looks like the Riders could have a two-headed running back attack back with those two guys. And I mean, naturally, if you're going to go with an American position, you want an American backup. So I thought DeCarey looked good as well too, in limited action, albeit because AJ was carrying the rock and running all over Hamilton with it. I thought he looked really good and has the potential to all of a sudden change the dynamic of this Rider offense.
I think we might end up with a three-headed monster. There's no way they're going to keep Bertrand Hudon off the roster when he's that good on special teams and with his passport. Don't get me wrong. They will not put three American running backs on that roster, but they will definitely take out one of the lesser linebackers just to get TBH on that roster.
Well, and he has the perfect, they should just list him as the fullback. Because is that not the most French-Canadian fullback name?
100%. And actually, I even made that joke. Well, not that joke, but a similar comment, I think, last night as well, going, what you do is you take Runge out, you move TBH over to fullback, and there's your running back that's a fullback that's actually a running back in the vein of Neil Hughes. Neil Hughes was never actually a fullback.
No, no. But you listed him as it, and I get it why you do it, but... I just think, like, you look at the success, and every team that's been successful has had a French-Canadian fullback. This goes back to the Montreal dynasty, right? You just, and you got to have at least one time this season, one announcer try to do the over-the-top French thing, even though they're not French. Because you know it's not.
Also, we're doing election night coverage.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The old Rosemary Barton from your last name's Barton. You're not busting out the French names on the regular, but biggest story coming out of the game, of course, on top of the team being 2-0 and not forgetting how to play offense. It's almost bizarro of last week. Couldn't play offense in the second half, but we're going good in the first half, is again, and we could just call this an annual addition at this point, the annual Brett Lowther stinker game. Like, it perplexes me.
So bad.
It just perplexes me how a guy like him came in making, 29 straight kicks and just completely poops his pants.
And don't get me wrong, like he took accountability for it, which is what he does because he's a vet.
Right.
And you got Mace going out there. I think it's a holder. And then Lowther's like, nah, it's not the holder. And then they're like, well, it's because he didn't get to practice because they were indoors all week. And you know, they need to get his reps in. I'm like, dude's a vet.
Yeah.
Like he should be able to come off the bench, stretch, ride the bike for a bit, and kick an extra point.
Right.
And he missed one of those.
Well, and to that argument with practice, there's you've been to games, you've seen the early warmups. It's nothing but the kicker just hanging out, dropping bombs.
Exactly.
Like practice or not, the guy's probably got in 20 to 30 kicks before anybody's in the stadium.
And the thing is, it's you can tell when he's going to have that bad game. He misses that one kick, and you can see it in his eyes, and he's fighting it the rest of the time.
Yeah,
and especially when it came when they couldn't put the tie cats away, and he's trying to kick that point to put him up by a touchdown. And you could just see it the minute he hit it. It's like he wasn't there. He had the yips.
Yeah. Now the question I have, and it hasn't happened in a game of consequence yet. And he always seems to rebound well from his annual Brett Lowther dog shit game trademarked. But at what point do you get concerned that this is now becoming a bit of an annual joke? Like even Corey Mace said this week, hey, we're just kind of used to it. Right? Like, it's not something you want to hear. Like, you don't hear that out of Sean White, out of my boy Sergio. You don't hear that out of the top kickers. You know, they don't all of a sudden turn into Boris Beattie, right? Is there any concern, do you think, from the coaching staff, fans, yourself, me, anybody?
I think you got to be cognizant of it. But what do you do when he ends this, like after he blew that game against Montreal last year, he, like you said, kicked 29 straight in a row.
Yeah.
Like it's, you don't want to see it. You need to get him in front of a sports psychologist or something. Cause it's just, it's amazing how it snowballs once he misses one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I've been kind of jokingly advocating for the signing of Eric Maximek this past week. Dude deserves to play. Like, and that's not just
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Let's campaign for that guy. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on this one,
but it doesn't hurt to have a guy behind Lothar. It really doesn't. Cause like what happens when if he pulls something, then you still need a guy behind him. It's not like Couch is going to be kicking field goals. We have two punters on the roster, but no backup kicker.
Well, and especially like with the CFL roster rules and stuff, you know, you could throw him on the practice squad. And Maximuk, how long was that kick that he kicked to beat the Hilltops that one night?
That was a 53-yarder, I think.
Yeah,
but he also holds the RSEQ.
there you go, Rosemary.
Yeah, a record. He beat it last year for longest field goal.
Which is super impressive because, I mean, you're doing this at Saskatoon Minor Football Field in the rain for the Regina Thunder. You're going to the U Sports, you know, he's a local kid, right, Greg?
Yeah, he's from Regina.
Right. So I don't know why you're not contacting him to have him on the practice roster or at least, you know, work him out or something so you've got an option. Because I honestly think part of Lowther's, like, if this is going to be more than one game, you have to seriously consider bringing in some competition for him, right? We all joke that, oh yeah, it's one game and it is what it is, but what if this snowballs? What if this happens during Labor Day? What if this happens during a playoff game, right? I think competition is healthy, and I think he needs a little bit of that to maybe stay right between, you know, the 6 inches between the ears.
And for the record, Maximek hit a 56-yarder at Concordia this year.
Is that good?
That's not bad.
So Lowther has his annual, he kind of stinks it up game. Rest of the team, honestly, though, like to kind of go big picture with the game itself, I really like the way that basically everybody else played. I mean, Roland Milligan came up with a big play. Keyshawn Johnson's proving that he can be the guy, although it just seems like Trevor Harris picks a new guy every week, right? But
I'm okay with it.
Well, it's working, right? It's the old... Well, it's the old...
Can't cover everybody.
No, and it's the old Tom Brady thing, right? I mean, you got to think, cliche Schaefer Baker still on the sidelines, right? Amulis is going to miss another game. It sounds like largely precautionary, but when your receivers have been that good, you have the ability to do that. I mean, you look at every single time on CFL.ca, and you just see name after name after name coming up there with, you know, the magic that Harris is pulling off, right? So I think the receiver depth looked crazy good. I thought the defense looked good. Everybody's kind of passing the eye test, Roland Milligan running one back again. You can't live or die on that. But it just seemed to me that they played better. I think they played a more complete game, but still couldn't get a full 60 out of anybody, really, Greg. Like, what did you kind of see in that game that you liked and that concerns you?
Hey, the minute it becomes a full 60-minute game, that's not Rough Rider football, baby.
gotta keep Glenn Suter employed to keep saying 3-minute warning.
If you're not white-knuckling through a game, you're not watching Rough Rider football. My daughter Emily has become more of a fan this year, and that home opener, she's like, why can't we just win? I'm like, yeah, yep. That's the way this works, because I'm like, you're going to go through this a lot. But I don't know where to begin. Like, the team is good. Like, and that's the reason why they basically ran it back from last year.
Yeah.
Very few changes, because they just needed to make a few additions by subtraction as well. Right.
100%.
And fill in where they think they had gaps. And I think they've done that very well. Do they need to get a full game together? Yeah, but we're only week two into the season. If we're still having this conversation come Labor Day, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at what they're doing, like, that offensive line for the second week in a row is the best graded offensive line in the league. Logan Ferland, according to Pro Football Focus, has not lost an offensive snap against head-to-head yet.
That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah. Yoshi, I think, lost one in the first game, didn't lose one last game. Like, unblemished as an offensive lineman, that's nuts.
Well, so, and two, like, you got to think, like, a lot of this comes down to Harris, right? Getting the ball out so quick, being so decisive with it, right? We were all concerned. We spent the preseason being freaked out about the offensive line, and Trevor Harris is making them essentially, they're playing very well, don't get me wrong, is making them essentially irrelevant.
But that's always been Trevor Harris's game, is 1-2 throw.
100%.
And that's semi part of the reason why I think Jake Maird looked, I don't say bad in preseason, but he's not as quick as Trevor Harris when it comes to that. He was, it's not like he's Trey Ford not being able to get past read one, but
it's, read one, tuck it and run.
Yeah. But that's not what this team is built on. This team is built on those quick, short throws. It's like Brady to Edelman, just over the top, just keep on plugging and keep the game moving, right?
Yeah. Which, again, you know, you can hide some warts, but I never knew that the PFF stuff. I'd seen on Three Down Nation, you know, the top graded players, the usual stuff. I didn't realize that they've got Yoshi has lost one matchup. Like, that's incredible. Like, watch the offensive line every snap. And that's one thing I love doing, is when I go to a live game, is watching some of the plays you don't see on TV. Because let's face it, you can see the line play on TV, but it's focused on the quarterback, as it should be, and it's 1-2 out. Like, watch those guys go to battle in the trenches if you're at a game live, and you're really going to pick up on some stuff, right? It's just, it is mind-blowing to me to see that these guys are basically playing like a bunch of young Cordovancos for the Saskatoon Hilltops.
Easy now. Don't damn them with faint praise.
Again, Hilltops Thunder. We gotta keep that little bit of a rivalry going here, Greg. I think complete game this week. I think they looked really good. Is there anything more you would have liked to see out of them outside of obviously Lowther getting over his yips? Because to me, they demolish the Tie Cats if Lowther doesn't have his traditional Brett Lowther kind of sucks at this TM game.
Well, yeah, like I said, if you look at it, like, yes, the Tie Cats were in it near the end of the game, but they really shouldn't have been in the game, because the Riders should have had 10 more points way earlier in the game. Like, it's just
right.
That game never should have been as close as it was. They still have a little issues finishing drives. Like, there should have been more touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't have to worry about the yips.
Right.
But other than that, like, defensive, maybe pressure from the defensive line. That might be my only, like, we got to see a little more of that. Seems like the only time they got pressure is when they were running stunts from the linebackers. They weren't really running blitz. They were just going with pressure and the occasional linebacker every once in a while. it worked. Don't get me wrong. Both Jameer Thurman and Avery got, no, Avery's hurt. We have too many CJs on the team.
You know, and see, the nice thing is a guy that barely does any research, you could just say CJ and it would be all good. So
too many CJs, too many AJs. It gets confusing.
Too many guys with the J. Of course, before we go out, let's just talk Argonauts. They're 0-2, all without Captain Ingrown Toenail, who...
Okay, I have had an ingrown toenail.
Yes.
Come on.
Right. Okay, I said this when the season started. I actually had an ingrown toenail surgically removed with the acid and everything. Like, they burned the nail bed, everything. And I was curling in 2 weeks after it.
Yeah.
And if you were going to tell me that, like, being up on your toe, like, I'm a toe slider, if you're going to tell me that's any harder than playing football, come on. It's obviously, it's not as hard as playing football.
It is ridiculous, though. Like, it's so, like, I don't know. It just seems, it's not as bad as the basketball player that sprained his thumbs while playing video games. But it feels like we're approaching that.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is, like, again, you're in Canada. And I think even when I had my toenail procedure done, it was like a couple $100 that my benefits covered. Like, are the Toronto Argonauts that cheap that they can't just take them and just get a pedicure?
Like, I don't know, man.
Or is it just that nobody of the opposite sex will get that close to anything of Chad Kelly's anymore?
That could be it.
That's, well, I gave the lawyers another one to talk about. We'll be back again next week. Greg, quick pick. Riders or Argos, who do you got winning and by how much?
We did Piffle's picks last night. Riders were, I want to say, 3.5 favorites. I know I took the Riders, and I believe I took them to cover. So
I would also agree. See, Joel hates talking betting stuff, so we can do these things when he's not here. So I'm also going to take the Riders. Hopefully Lowther knows how to kick, because Sergio ain't going anywhere. And again, while Joel's off the program, just for you, Jock, no cold clothes. See you next week.
A warning from Jace Medical. Even if the war stops, the shortages won't. Because ships move slowly, the U.S. has been running on oil that set sail months ago. But that buffer is running out. Asia is already feeling it. Europe is feeling it. Africa is feeling it. Demand is increasing as supply tightens, and it's what's been raising your power bill and gas prices. But those last ships to the U.S. just arrived, and even if things stabilize, the ripple effects will last much, much longer, because oil doesn't just power your car. It powers the systems that make and deliver your medications. And when supply slows, shortages begin. The difference between panic and peace is preparation with Jace. The Jace case is a doctor-prescribed emergency supply of essential medications and prescription antibiotics delivered right to your door so you're ready before you need it. No waiting, no scrambling, just control. Get your Jace case today at jace.com.